Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I'll tell you about my mani-pedi in Naples, Florida. Also, we'll get in some trending topics, thanks to Chris Maxipata.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, director and screenwriter George Gallo, with Gina Gratt on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and the gang goes over some of the last weekend's trending topics, and now he works from early in the morning until late in the evening. He makes many phone calls and has many meetings. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it. Manage to get it on now. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball Brian.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I got a couple things I want to get into. First, an analogy, and you guys can jump in on this one. I was talking to actor Justin Long a little earlier today on my podcast, Take a Knee, and on his podcast as well. And we were kind of talking about First Amendment stuff and what's going on. And Second Amendment stuff. Trying to think.
Guns or speech?
Speech,
many
sorry.
Amendments.
Speech is first.
First Amendment stuff. And, you know, what's going on out there and Twitter and all people being deplatformed and what to do. Well, what's the idea? What's the plan? And I use this analogy, and I'd like you guys to help me drill down on it, which is the computer and the digital age has not given us much time to process a lot of these new things. And I said, in the past, everyone rode horses. And then at some point, some of the people got cars. Was it the Model T, the first one, or the Model A? It sounds like A should be first, but for some reason, I think T's the first one.
Model T.
Not according to Music Man. That lyric is, it's the Model T Ford made the trouble, made the people want to get up and go.
Yeah. I'm not gay, nor do I want to be gay. Yeah. So
that was a test and we passed.
I don't know of which you speak, but am I allowed to continue, Gina? So the Model T came around and a small percentage of Americans got themselves an automobile. And so then they had to kind of share the road with the horses. And at some point, as more Americans, you know, very slowly got out of horses and wagons and into Model Ts and other cars, we had to start figuring that out. Like, well, I guess we have to pave some roads. And then there's going to need to be stoplights at intersections. We need a stoplight. And Then I guess we'll need speed limits. Someone's going to have to enforce those speed limits. I guess police should enforce those speed limits. But that period took 50 years. You know, we had a long time to work that all out. And with the internet and with social media and with the digital world we're living in, we don't have that time. And so we try to figure it out in real time, but we're kind of chasing it. And so I was saying, imagine if everyone went from horse and buggy to driving a Ferrari in 15 minutes. What would the rules be? And then how many arguments would we have over those rules?
Sure.
So someone would say, we need a stoplight. And someone would go, we don't need a stoplight. Why do we need a stoplight? And there'd be an argument over that. And we need police to enforce the speeds. And someone would go, this is America. We don't need the police. So we would.
Or anyone going over 60 miles an hour isn't allowed to have their car anymore.
Right. So we would have a big fat argument about it constantly because we didn't evolve into it. And almost everything else in our society, you know, whether it be the automobile or airplane travel, think about how we had all this time to just evolve into it. All the rules, the regulations, and what works and what doesn't work and what's effective and ineffective. This is us completely chasing it. So no wonder nobody has a handle on what the plan should be or what's going to be effective. How would they?
Of course.
We're chasing it.
Complicating the issue is, at least as it pertains to the internet, when that came around and became a thing very quickly, the people who were in charge of making laws, I'll just say they weren't of internet age and didn't comprehend what they were really doing. So you had people that were behind the curve quite significantly in terms of their age, their abilities, their demographics. Like, the people that should have been making rules were probably the people who were making the internet, but unfortunately the lawmakers were, you know, generally older and male, and think about your grandpa trying to send a text. You know what I mean? Like, that it's just that you're playing catch up with someone who doesn't understand the game.
Yes. Although I argue that my grandmas would be shitty at text too, but I don't want to just limit it to males. But then you get into this thing, which is, well, but do we let the people that are starting the internet make the rules? Because now they're going to make the rules favor them.
Course,
and thus, the debate, that's where the debate starts. So I was using that automotive analogy and all the safety that's in cars and who decided we needed seatbelts and who decided that we needed to pass a law that people had to wear seatbelts or pass a law that manufacturers needed to require seatbelts in every new automobile. I mean, just think what a long and drawn out process that was, along with, as Brian said, younger people coming into the fold as the older senator aged out, the younger one came in who grew up around automobiles and now has a better chance of deciphering some of this stuff. But
Strom Thurmond was a senator when the internet came around. Policy.
Also, right. When the Model T came around.
That's a good point.
Right.
He saw a lot in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see if that's true, or maybe the Model A will kick it back one, but Strom Thurmond.
I think
but,
the Model T was the first mass-produced with the assembly line and all.
Yes.
That. There were cars before the
sense.
Model T.
Yeah, but I picked that because people got it. The average person could get it, but still took a little while to... Yeah. For many families to get it. So, yeah. So if you wonder about all the discussions, debates, arguments we're having over the internet and what it should do and what Twitter should do and what all the tech companies should do, well, of course, we're going to have this argument. But I would argue the argument would be just as robust if we went to sports cars as fast as we went to the internet back in the day. All right, Gina, here's one for you. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, you know, how sick are we of hearing, like, oh, the internet's the wild, wild west. It's the wild west. Like, okay, we're sick of that cliche. But, like, if you watch, you know, Deadwood or Gunsmoke or the one you're into now that we never heard of.
Wagon Train.
Oh, yeah.
Wagon Train.
Wagon Tongue.
You see those shows and, you know, it's all about, like, we just set up this community in the middle of the desert. Like, what are the rules? And it is an apt analogy, even though we're sick of hearing it.
Yes. Gone from Wagon Train to Wagon Fingers. Mm-hmm. And everyone we disagree with. All right. I don't know if I'm into it now. I just watched one. I haven't seen it in a million years. But, all right. So now the other subject is I think for the first time in my life in Naples, Florida, I got a mani-pedi.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
No, I'm not more surprised about the first time in your life.
I think I popped my cherry for the mani-pedi in Naples. And a lot of people say, why? Well, one of the things is L.A. and certainly California are so shut down that when you go to a place like Florida that's so open, you think, what can I do here?
It's like Pleasure Island. It's like, sure, I'll smoke a cigar. Do I smoke cigars? No, but I'm going to do it here.
Right. That was my mindset. So I got a mani-pedi. And I got to say, it was good. And not only was it good, I feel like it's something I'm going to do three or four times a year.
Now we're talking.
Wow.
Join me on Team Pedicure. It's the best. Oh, someone's rubbing your feet? How gay. No, it's fucking awesome.
Somebody well, got that. Also, Brian, I'm sure you don't like this, but Adam, I bet you could handle when they get the sander out and really go to town on your heels and your toes.
I'm ticklish in the feet, so it made it a little bit weird and difficult. But I'm self-conscious, too, so I didn't want to, like, struggle or giggle. Yeah, so there was a little bit of that. Also, I think the pedi is much better than the mani. The
Agreed.
Soaking of the feet and all the work that's going on down there. Also, I have nice toes. I have nice toenails. But there's things that can be removed down there that
always improve.
Tend to build up. So... the mani-pedi is pretty damn awesome.
I think
a great day. I might just go for the pedi every once in a while.
Now you're talking about Brian talk.
And you do the calf massage, which is nice.
They do the calf massage that you soak in that hot water. You pull it on there. I still feel a little self-conscious about people working on my feet. It feels symbolic to me, you know.
But you're very rich.
Yeah, I know. They should
be. So you did. Fits.
But it's like you grovel. You know, it's like they're groveling for 20 minutes or something. So it feels it feels a little weird. Strom Thurmond, born in 1902, Model T introduced in 08. So he was born when it was introduced. I enjoy the... I enjoyed it immensely. I'm trying to think of again, I like the pedi much more than the mani. The mani was fine, but I think I might just go in for the pedi. Is that what you do, Brian?
Yeah, I got a manicure out. You know what? I last got a manicure when I was really sick, like 09, and I literally didn't have the strength to clip my own nails, and I kind of gave in. It was nice, but I haven't done it since. The pedicure, that's a 2-3 times a year treat. The pedicure is rad.
Do you do, when you did the mani-pedi, was it simultaneous, or did you move from one station to the other?
No, it was the dip your, you know, fingers in the solution.
That's the way to go. You sit in your chair, you're getting worked on both ways, you put your feet up, you put your hands out. Is that what you did, Adam?
No, I got the separate station move, but the chair, it was a special pedi chair. We had like the massager worked into it and was like reclining and the feet were just in the hot sudsy water and it is.
What telenovela did they have on?
Well, these were probably Korean folks.
Oh.
So they weren't watching that. Again, it was at a big mall. Outdoor mall, but it's so weird just to walk the length of the mall and see people eating outdoors and eating indoors and eating brunch, and you're getting your pedi done. And the gym, there was a gym that was open. There were multiple restaurants that were open. There were people inside watching football games and drinking beers, and outside eating brunch and inside. It's interesting that when something gets taken away, how much you appreciate it.
And notice it.
I was about to say notice. Just notice it. Yeah, you completely. Like you walk around. Look at these people.
People are gathered watching a sporting event.
What year is this?
Yeah. And also, and
to, yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, to contrast that, yesterday I went to pick up a book at a certain bookstore on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, and I didn't even know if you were allowed to go in. So I went in, and I just, you know, I knew what section I was going to. So I went, ma'am, ma'am, come back. That's the exit aisle. You have to go around, and it's one way.
Oh, there
ma'am.
Was a path.
Yep, with little arrows on the floor, and I'm getting yelled at, and I'm just trying to grab a book and get out.
People were pretty universally wearing a mask at walking around Naples, Florida, I noticed. They weren't wearing them inside the club when I was doing the shows, but I don't know. Again, how are you going to just eat a whole bunch of nachos and drink a bunch of beer inside a club? But I do not. I'm looking at Max Pat. I don't think there's a human wearing a mask who didn't work there.
They're all eating and drinking.
They're all eating and drinking. Yeah. So that was about as super spreader an environment as you're going to find, I would say.
Bow Wow has some competition.
Bow Wow's got some, not Lil, right, just Bow Wow's got some competition, yes.
Did you do any sort of meet and greet?
No, I must say it is, catered to my lazier angels, which is we've decided that I should just sit in the green room after the show and Mike will bring me piles of books that people have purchased, and then I will just sign those books and send them back with Mike. And, you know, hygienically probably didn't make much difference because I was just in the club for 2 hours doing a show with everybody. But you can kind of get used to walking back and sitting down and relaxing a little in between shows. And some of the meet and greets in the past, they could go on for a while. And that little window where you're supposed to sit down and maybe eat something, especially since I left L.A. at, you know, I got to the airport at 5 in the morning and now it's 9:30 at night in Naples, Florida. Yeah, you kind of get used to sitting back there a little bit and watching a little college football and, you know, just chillaxing in between shows. So we did that. I think we sold all the books.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Adam's in the back, I'm doing the merch and I'm getting all the messages I need to relay to Adam.
Chris is exposed to every person of the goddamn club.
Yes. But it does. This whole COVID thing is so fascinating because you hear people talk and they go, yeah, two people in my house got it. And they followed the rules, but there's still two people got it. And or we all know people, Dr. Drew, his son, like they all got it. Is it possible, Max Zapata, that literally for the last almost year, we've been traversing the United States on airplanes and restaurants and crowded clubs, essentially doing everything they told you not to do? Is it possible that you, me, and Mike have got nothing?
I can't believe it. It really makes zero sense to me. Especially when we were just sitting in the club, I looked around, I'm like, all right, this is how I go down. This is how I.
Well, I have a question for Chris. Yeah. Chris, your fiance is the nurse. Does she put you on any kind of protocol? You know, extra zinc, extra vitamin D, or whatever? Does she have some remedies?
I mean, she just makes sure I'm responsible, masking up and all that. And so I'm a little bummed that Adam just put it out there that there are no masks in this club because it might go against the story I give her.
But
for the most part, she just got the vaccine too. I would say she's at more risk than I am because she has to deal with COVID patients and she's always treating them at the hospital. So yeah, it's weird that neither of us have caught it yet. And I mean, knock on wood.
But is it possible you did and you cycled through and you didn't notice?
Very true. That's possible too. I mean, I did get sick in December. I remember that happening, but it wasn't insane. And I mean, I've been tested a few times and it's been negative. So
because, I mean, you can look it up. I don't even know all the places we've been, but we've only been to places that are open. So if we're going with the sort of prevailing logic, we come from a place that is closed down and you can't perform in a place that's closed down. So you go to places that are open. And the prevailing wisdom that we've all heard over the last 10 months is that lock it down, slow the spread, stay indoors, shut the restaurants, shut the schools. Well, we have been going just to places that are open and engaging in the behaviors they tell you not to engage in. We go play a club, which is as bad as, you know, if you talk to anyone from the CDC, they'd probably tell you here's where you don't want to be. In terms of spreading the disease or contracting it, would be inside the club. In order to get back and forth, it's a series of Uber rides and a series of plane flights and airports back and forth. And then there's the hotel. You know, we don't go to the hotel and don't go on the flight and don't go to the club. And then when we're done with all that, we end up at a restaurant indoors eating, and then in between, it's mani-pedis, haircuts, and massages for me. So there is all the behavior that we're not supposed to engage in here in California. We have lived it. Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Nashville, Tempe, Salt Lake City, West Palm Beach, and now Naples. So is it physically possible that the three of us didn't get this when everybody we know, or so many people we know, contracted it at home or doing, you know, following the protocols?
As it pertains to all of that, I was having this conversation with my in-laws just this weekend about, so what are we, 11 months into this, something like the 10, 11 months into this, the lockdown, and nationwide or even worldwide, it seems like the only thing we can really get a consensus on is masks. And even that, you have plenty of people who are like, yeah, they don't do shit, blah, blah, blah. But that's really the only consensus amongst the experts. Lock it down, don't lock it down. You have some states that allow indoor dining, some states that don't, some states that only allow takeaway, some states only allow outdoor dining. Like, there's so many variations, and it's not consistent, because one day you'll hear LA cases are spiking, next day you'll hear South Dakota cases are spiking, next day you'll hear Arizona cases are spiking. Regardless of what the protocol is, and it's very inconsistent, cases are going to spike. You know what I mean? Like, we don't see any, we haven't seen any pro or con protocol work consistently. You know what I mean? Every day someplace new is spiking regardless of what they're doing.
Well, it's now starting to trickle out even the opposite, which is the lockdowns may be worse than no lockdowns, because you take everyone and you segregate them and you create, I heard a guy, Alex Berenson, describing as you dry out all the kindling, and now it's time to come out into society, and now you have a bunch of people that are being exposed who weren't being exposed. It seems like the lockdowns don't even seem like a coin toss. They feel like they're certainly maybe making things worse than, and a lot of that data is starting to come down. Anyway, if it
my
is.
My point was, like, you'll see, like, South Dakota is spiking and they didn't do any lockdowns and they didn't do anything. But then you'll see LA is spiking and we're the most locked down of anyone. So it's so incredibly inconsistent.
I agree.
The results.
I totally agree. And so with that in mind, we should reopen. And I have no idea what the timeline is for outdoor dining or schools or anything. But it'd be nice, especially the schools, because there's just nothing with the schools. There's just nothing with young kids going on. All right. We'll do some trending topics. Max Pata's pulled those out.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Ball, Gina, Tim, 41, Maryland, calling to talk about the great cookie debate from last week. Back in 1991, a movie came out called City Slickers, and there was a character on there called Cookie who did, guess what, cook the food. I kind of put it together as a 12-year-old, and I've known ever since, so I stand with Ball. Later.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, there is another American that knows what Bald Brian seemed to have known before birth. That Cookie is a nickname for
Cook.
You know
what I realized was the thing that drove the nail home? Because people, you know, tweeted me like, oh, it's in this. Oh, it's in this. It was the Pace Picante commercial. Remember where, like, get a rope. Cookie, is this good salsa? Is this from blah, blah, blah? And he's like, no, it's from a jar. And then blah, blah, blah.
But I want to reiterate that Adam and I both had people in our families who called us cookie. I'm assuming you did not, Brian.
I didn't call
cookie. That's a term of endearment.
Well, also, the problem with the cookie example from the Pace Picante ad is that I always thought if you made a movie and you had an old timer, or you did a TV commercial and you had an old timer working the chuck wagon. Well, wait a minute. Does chuck mean something? Like chuck?
Oh boy.
Chuck roast?
Chuck.
Oh, shit.
Chuck.
What else am I missing? My point is you would just call him cookie, but not necessarily still connected to cooking. That was just a ubiquitous, like you called your big black cellmate Bubba when you were doing one of these commercials or one of these TV shows. All right. we have some trending topics. Yeah. This is stuff that's going on. Maxipata collects these. We do not discuss in advance, so you'll get my unvarnished take on these subjects.
Well, as I was looking for trending topics over the weekend, one was happening at the moment. And it was one word. It's trending number two in the world. The word was Dolly, because Gina, as I'm sure she knows, today's Dolly Parton's 75th birthday.
Happy birthday, Dolly Parton.
And I was thinking, because that is who Gina, quote, stands the most. And so, and I was wondering, Brian.
Her chin turned 25.
Brian and Adam, I'd love to know who you guys stand. Like, who are you guys super fans of? Preferably alive, because we all know you made a Paul Newman documentary, Adam. But and the Stan is obviously from the Eminem song Stan, which was about an overly obsessive super fan.
Which is weird. Yeah. It's a new term and an old song.
Added to the Oxford English Dictionary in 2017.
Yeah. Really?
I stan this.
I stan
him.
Yeah, I stan this guy. That means I'm a super fan.
Got to file that under cookie. I didn't know Stan. I didn't know Stan either. Oh, there it is. All right. So,
do you stand?
Congratulations, Gina, getting on the Dolly train early and often, because there were a lot of lean years in there, I believe, where she was a caricature and kind of butt of a lot of jokes and stuff. And now she's beloved.
Beloved.
Beloved. It's also very, it's an interesting and slightly unique glimpse into the psyche of the nation, because why didn't we appreciate her 20 years ago? And why is it that she was kind of the butt of a joke and no one thought much of it? And if you liked Dolly Parton, you're kind of country and square and whatever, you know, kind of
hokey.
And now we're there. Now, what is that? Like, why did we change our mind? As I don't feel like Dolly Parton changed.
No, far from it. I think that, I mean, I know that this was happening before that, but when people found out that she had donated $1 million and that $1 million helped come up with a COVID vaccine, people lost their minds. But before that, I don't know. I think she has a good publicist. I think she has Kale's publicist.
I think... I think that it's deeper. I think that we're all such lemmings that when we hear somebody, especially some tastemaker or trendsetter or something, go, "Oh, I love Dolly Parton," then we all go, "Oh, we love Dolly Parton too." Because now there was no reason to dislike Dolly Parton in the first place. We just joined that group of people that made fun of Dolly Parton because we didn't want to be singled out in the town square. And now that the prevailing wisdom has shifted and now everyone's a Dolly Parton fan, we don't want to be left out in the town square for that either.
I think you're right. Also, on Teresa and my podcast a long time ago, we did the series about her. They did like a 8-part Dolly Parton series. Easy listening, Gina Gratreet Strasser. And there is something in there where she says something unflattering to the Jews. And yet nobody's ever picked up on that. I certainly have forgiven her. But, let me just put this way. Dolly ain't getting canceled. She's the one.
Well, when you own several roller coasters, you can't really be canceled. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good point.
You know, people always say have your own platform or have your own podcast or publish your own book. But I would say own your own roller coasters. People love roller coasters. They're always going to pay. No one wants to know the politics of who built Colossus or the Widowmaker. They just want to rush. And you're always going to be able to hammer checks. Yes, Brian.
The question is just popped into my mind. If you're embraced by and large by the gay community, are you cancel proof? I mean, I'm open to examples that disprove this thought, but I can't think of one.
Let me shit on your point in a massive way. I think that my first thought was that is a fantastic point. On the other hand, RuPaul himself, depending on how where he is and what he's doing, got dragged through fire for using the word tranny while that was still acceptable and having that on Drag Race, on episodes of Drag Race. And I mean, as close to canceled as you can get, people were
without
slandering.
Being canceled.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the show still airs. So I guess you're right. But even RuPaul isn't bulletproof to these kinds of things.
Well, let me pile some fecal matter on your poop, Gina Grad. Martina Navratilova got the shit kicked out of her as an icon in the gay and lesbian community for saying that basically men or women who were born as men shouldn't be competing with women in women's sports. So she got the shit kicked out of her, too. And I don't know a bigger international gay icon than Martina for all the years. I mean, she came out so early.
Sure.
All right.
That wasn't cool.
On that subject, I would say the minor league baseball player who threw the potato over the third baseman's head.
You stan him.
That guy's always been a personal hero of mine because that guy. You know, you don't just buy a baseball uniform and it comes with a potato.
Yeah, that you got to bring your own.
You got to bring your own potato. You have to pick the right color potato and the right size
shape
potato.
Maybe take a couple practice throws before the game.
Yeah.
Who knows how many games he played where a guy wasn't on third base with the potato in his back pocket? You know what I mean?
He could have gone. That was the first time, Adam. Come on.
That's the whole point. I mean, there's guys that hit doubles. There's home runs. There's guys getting walked. There's not always guys just standing on third base. You know, who knows? So he may have had to go out there with that potato digging a hole in his right butt cheek down in the catcher's position all that time. He must have done it in like 1985 or 4 or something. And Gina, if you don't know the story, he had a guy on third base. I think he was a minor league guy. I think he got thrown out of. He also got fired from his job as a.
He's a martyr.
As a martyr. He was a catcher. The pitcher made the pitch. He caught the pitch. There was a guy on third base leading off. He stood up and fired what appeared to be the baseball well over the third baseman's head. Of course, the runner then just trotted home, seeing what appeared to be the baseball go skidding into left field. And when he got to home plate, he tagged him with the actual ball. Although you think if I was such a fan, I would know his first name at least. But that guy's been carved into my psyche. What year was that?
His name is Dave Bresnahan.
Oh.
It was 87.
87.
And
wait a second.
He now works in real estate.
Oh, we can get
But you knew that already.
Wait a second. His name's Dave Bresnahan, and I got trouble for not remembering Bobby Barasini.
Yeah.
And Dave this is the guy you stand the most?
Yeah, I stand. And by the way, ending up in real estate is just where you end up. Like when porn stars can't get paid to fuck anymore, they end up in real estate. Like everyone just, and no one ever really knows what it means. Do you sell one shitty condo in Van Nuys a year or do you sell, you know, multi-million-dollar Miami beachfront estates?
But actually, at the very next day, the Indians released him because of that stunt. And his playing career is over. Never played professionally again.
Had a chance to go to the show. Gave it all up.
It's a Crash Davis moment.
For a russet.
Now, did that guy know he was, you know, his days weren't long for...
I think he was hanging on to the end of the roster. I don't think they would have cut their number one draft pick if he had done that.
Still started.
You know, also the potato, he peeled it and carved it to the likeness of a baseball.
Oh, man.
See, this is a winner.
I like
this is like
even
a classic
more.
Quit story. Like, yes. this is the leader in the clubhouse of quitting stories.
They never talk about the left fielder who went and shagged the potato and had to be like, what?
What the?
Yeah. There's footage of it, I think, Max Zapata. You can probably find it. But that's my stand. Brian, you got a stand?
I have stand. Well, Stan is the word. S-T-A-N.
Oh,
Stan.
Like Stanley.
Yeah, because the
Stan.
Name of the guy in the super fan in the song.
Oh, that's Stan. Oh, I thought it was like stand with them or something. Stan.
No, but stand. Past tense. I have stand many people over the years. You know, your Dana Carvey's, you know, Noel Gallagher. The people could do no wrong in my heart. But of course, you know, the ultimate Stan is Michael Beam.
Oh, wow. Of course.
Gettable.
Yeah.
Could do no wrong.
Sun works here.
Need to see more of my life.
We were lucky enough to have him as a guest when we were filling in for you, Adam, and Brian was agog for an hour and a half.
He was almost my dad that day.
That's right. He almost got adopted.
Just on a sidebar sports thing, I was watching the second installment of the Tiger Woods doc.
Me too.
And it was on, we were talking about building people up and knocking them down, and we were talking about Dolly Parton and how much we love that. You watch that doc, I mean, Tiger Woods got built up higher than anyone could ever get built up. Then he got knocked down lower than anyone could ever get knocked down. And then he went right back up again at the end. And if you don't think that's how we are as a society, look no further than Tiger Woods. I mean,
yeah, but he's white. He had it. Oh, hold on.
He plays. First things first, he plays golf. You know, we don't need golfers in our society. You know,
agreed.
We
not true.
All our presidents seem to golf a lot, but we don't really need golfers. You know, we need surgeons and airplane pilots and senators and things like that and school teachers. But so it's a sport. That's really almost neither here nor there, but we decided that this guy was so great and so competitive that he was the best. Then, after that, it was another subject that's kind of neither here nor there, which is banging chicks in Vegas, essentially. That's really
and
got...
And Perkins.
What's that?
And Perkins.
And Perkins.
And Perkins, the Perkins waitress.
Oh, sorry, and Perkins. Perkins is not a chain out here. So
yeah,
I don't
yeah. We grew up with Perkins. I think it's Midwestern and Southern.
And maybe I'm having troubles with my N's and my D's this morning, but I thought you said Ann Perkins.
Oh, like, that
I was
makes
like,
sense.
Which one of his whores was Ann Perkins? And
I know her.
Who's Stand? My D's and my N's, I'm losing it. Maybe I got the COVID.
No.
So, yes, he... Then it turns out that he likes to have sex outside of his marriage. And for some reason, that's our business. And that's super important. And we now decide that he must be destroyed based on that. Also, if you're watching that doc, how creepy was the National Enquirer reporter? That like middle-aged dude who was saying things with glee about,
yes,
you know,
wise old owl glasses from the Tootsie Pop commercial.
It's like, we followed him into the parking lot. We even retrieved one of her spent tampons. And it's like,
blah.
And the thought that was going through my head, and we're working on getting the director of the Tiger Doc
awesome.
On this week for a recap, but. I, you know what I thought about that guy who was this, you know, looked like an affable looking kind of harmless guy bragging about what the National Enquirer would do, you know, follow people and go through their trash and then take them and threaten them and humiliate them and all this.
And try and make it a kill story or whatever they call it. Kind of a blackmail.
Yeah.
Catch and kill.
Yeah. You will kill this story if you appear on Men's Fitness, another one of our publications, like really dicey, douchey stuff. And the fact that he would be on camera saying it with glee and a certain amount of pride. You know, my thought was, who produces this child? Because we all get the serial killer thing where it's like his stepdad ritualistically abused him and sexually abused him. Like, we all get the, we've ruined this kid. And this kid becomes a degenerate, and this kid becomes an alcoholic, and this kid becomes a killer, or whatever it is. And then we get kind of the positive version where it's like the parents were sweet and they were supportive and they were kind and they taught him the difference between right and wrong. How do we produce all of these people who are gainfully employed, who pay their taxes, who may be good Americans and even good neighbors, but choose to go down this road? You know what I mean? Like, this super dicey lawyer, you know, who's willing to lie about anything. Well, I should ask Garagos. But,
but if only we knew someone.
What creates this? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get there? Like, I would, if Sonny turned out like that guy, would never stop throwing up. I would just be like, Jesus Christ, what have you learned from living with me for 20 years? Like, what the fuck? Where do we get that? How do you instill that? Or
that's
do you?
That's a really, really good question. And I kept turning to Andy the every time that guy came on and would say something, I turn to Andy and go, who cares? Like, who gives a shit? Who can get it up for this story? Who cares? Mm-hmm. And I think to answer your question, two things come to mind. When kids are kids, they have unbelievable delight in telling. I'm telling. This guy never got that punished out of his system. He got rewarded for telling, I imagine. And it's like you've said, I think there's an element of the dad saying, you got to screw this guy before he screws you. Mm. I think the combination of that gives you a guy like this.
Max Pata, write this down, a new podcast called Parents of Publicists. What the fuck happened? Yeah. What did you do? What'd you do to create the worst people on the fuck, the most entitled fuck sticks on the planet? What did you guys do to them? Because again, they grew up with, you know, intact families. They're educated, you know, presumably normal families. They're, mm-hmm. you know, again, they're not outlier people. How did they get this way? The other person I'm curious about is watching the Tiger Doc. The people that are in the gallery, and when Tiger lines up for the 26-foot putt, and as soon as he strikes the ball, the ball gets 2 feet away from the putter, starts rolling toward the get in the hole! Get in the hole!
Everyone knows get in the hole guy.
My feeling is if I went to go watch the Masters and I was standing next to a friend of mine who was screaming, get in the hole, every time someone putted the ball, I would go, you got to stand on the other side of the rope on the other. I don't want to stand next to you yelling, get in the hole. And by the way, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't get in the hole on a 30-foot putt. So your batting average is horrible.
Doesn't make ESPN highlights when that happens, though. Only when it goes in. You look like a genius.
Get in the hole. All right, what do we got?
Here's another topic that was trending over
now,
the weekend.
Now, if that dude was in the gallery of a porn movie.
Yeah, of a gangbang.
Yeah. Or maybe he works on the set and he holds the boom mic and he just yells, get in the hole every time the guy
comes
out.
He called it again, Mitch.
All right, sorry, trending topic.
Another thing that Adam Stanz was trending over the weekend. Three words, master and commander.
Mm.
Very weird that it was trending because this movie is from 2003. But what happened was a young man named Ian tweeted, lots of folks complaining about lack of sleep during the pandemic. I recommend Master and Commander starring the usually captivating, attention-grabbing Russell Crowe. And then he tags Russell Crowe. So Russell saw it. And he responds, that's the problem with kids these days. No focus. Peter Weir's film is brilliant. An exacting, detail-oriented, epic tale of fidelity to the Empire and the service, regardless of the cost. Incredible cinematography by Russell Boyd and a majestic soundtrack. Definitely an adult's movie.
Wow. That was a nice response.
Yeah,
too.
So it's
it been really mean.
Tempered.
To
yeah.
I love this movie, and just to bring it full circle, I love the shit out of this movie, and I really appreciate this movie, and for many different ways, because it's very nuanced, this movie, and it shows the kind of life aboard a ship back then, and it also makes you realize there's like 12, 13-year-old kids on that ship, too. Like, holy shit, this is the way people used to live back then. But I did, after many months of discussing it, sit down with my son in my newly constructed movie theater. And I said, now we're going to watch Master and Commander, one of my all-time favorites. And we sat down. We got about 26 minutes in, and my son just looked at me and he goes, I'm bored off my ass. Can I go upstairs? And I'm like, wow. So this is exactly what Russell is talking about.
Yeah. Josh Gad also responded, a perfect movie. Peter Ramsey, director of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That guy's a fucking idiot, Russell. Peter Weir is a god. The movie's amazing, and you're amazing in it. Thank you. Okay. So this is one of the first times a person said, kids these days, old man yelling at cloud, whatever, and everyone supported him. Everybody is on board with Russell Crowe on Twitter, saying this kid has no idea what he's talking about.
Maybe we're just trying to reward Russell for not throwing a phone at him.
That's right. You gotta reward him for good behavior. Adam, I just saw this for the first time about a year ago. After many times you brought it up, how much you love the movie, I'm like, this is a Best Picture nominee. I should probably see this movie. Very, really good movie. I liked it a lot. I didn't like it as much as you did. I still liked it quite a bit. It's a little long at an hour or 2 hours and 20 minutes, but it's a very good movie.
Yeah, it was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, only won Best Cinematography and Best Sound Editing. All the other categories it lost to the final Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh.
Well, I love movies at sea. So if you catch, I'm in that genre where anything at sea, World War II, any war thing at sea, I'm already kind of half in.
And the battle scenes are exhilarating. They're really well done.
And it was very... like, oh, you got how they did things back then, like finding out how deep the water was and what the sand under the boat was made of, consisted of, and the speed, how you picked up the speed and all the kind of weird little inside techniques of what they did back then. Just I found it all fascinating. But Sonny, not so much.
Kids these days.
We got another one?
Yeah, we'll do one more here. This one went viral over the weekend. It was in Salem, Oregon, at a Trader Joe's. There was a group outside the Trader Joe's claiming they're just there to peacefully shop slash demonstrate.
Peacefully shop?
Well, they weren't wearing masks.
Don't trust a group that says they're there to peacefully shop.
Well, you'll hear it, because this is actually taken, oddly, from the perspective of one of the women who wasn't wearing a mask trying to get in. She had a cell phone video, and the manager comes up to her and is trying to talk to her and see if they could come to some sort of resolution. Here's the first 2 minutes of the 8-minute video that everybody's praising this manager for.
Did not see that.
How's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. Having a good day?
Yeah, how about you?
Good. I know why you guys are here. I know you guys
We're here to shop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally understand.
Peacefully shop.
Totally fine.
Household groceries.
No problem if you guys want to shop. No problem if you guys just want to grab your groceries.
Okay.
We told everyone to maintain the distance, be polite and respectful, and respect other people's rights, because we don't want special treatment. We just want to be honored as shoppers.
Oh, good.
Thank you. I understand all that, truly.
Thank you.
And like I was telling your friends over there, I don't want to tell you guys what to think, what to do, what to believe, anything like that.
We honor that.
I would ask kindly that you guys understand here at TJ's and what we're doing, we're just trying to work.
I get it. Absolutely.
The difference you guys are trying to make isn't going to be made with us.
We're just shopping.
With your government.
Well, no. We're just shopping.
I'm not talking about the shopping. I'm not talking about what you guys...
You're right.
Totally understand that. I am not here to debate policy. I totally respect your freedom to think whatever you guys want to think.
Okay.
By all means, true, I believe that.
We're demonstrating to that.
And you have
actually, we're not demonstrating. We're buying groceries.
I like when they correct each other.
All I'm saying is my responsibility as a manager of the store is to enforce a mandate, whether you guys believe in that
but
mandate or
it's not a law.
No,
you can't enforce non-law.
Where is this?
No, you can't.
Oregon, Salem, Oregon.
You cannot deny somebody.
All right, you can pause it. How closed down is Oregon these days?
It's really similar to California. And they are still, of course, they're requiring masks for anything as well. It's all there. So as the video goes on, there are two women with masks walk in, and then they run up there and they kind of block her at the door. And then all the people without the masks, they kind of block the entrance, saying, if we can't go in, nobody else can come in. And it was really odd. I thought I thought that manager showed a lot of patience and
he did.
Oh, restraint.
Yeah.
I love Trader Joe's. So here's both sides, in my opinion. One is you wear a mask because you're required to wear a mask, and you put the mask on if you want to get, a whole bunch of good cheese at bargain basement prices and mm-hmm. wine as well. I'm down with that. On the other hand, if you have a very restricted, locked down society, you will give birth to more of this. I feel like the overreach of the government and the oppression of not having, for instance, outdoor dining and things of that nature, schools closed, or the overreach of the government and the over sort of the overreach and the over implementation of the government regulations and rules is going to cause an uprising by a certain percentage of society that is going to push back, and it's going to come out in this form, which is a stupid form, going to Trader Joe's. I'd be interested. I know they have this everywhere, this sort of person that doesn't want to wear the mask inside the Costco or whatever it is. But I would venture to say that the more locked down your society is for the longer period of time, the more groups of these kinds of people it's going to create. That's my take. And so even though these people are idiots, it's still born from having an overly over-intrusive government that has locked down and oppressed its people. Now, California, we're all such fucking pussies and no one really does anything here. Yeah. And the thing that's interesting is they probably would. The people who live in Orange County, California, probably would, except for they're not locked down.
Right.
It's weird when you talk to people. Whenever I talk to Mike August, like, we're going out for Froyo, or we're going over to here, we're going out to dinner. It's like, no, not locked down. So that guy's a winner.
Yeah.
But, and it's always, I think wearing a Hawaiian shirt may mellow you out.
We're calming on the entire milieu.
That's right. You feel like you're on vacation.
Well, they talk. They'll say, In schools that have school uniforms, there's less fights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because the people sort of act that way. So if you said, I'm going to open a supermarket and everyone has to wear a Viking helmet.
Dressed like a Visigoth.
I bet you'd have a different approach. Like management would be a little different. Now, maybe it would attract a certain ilk. I don't know.
Real quick, did you guys notice? That's why I pointed at the screen when it happened. I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. But as this poor guy is trying to, you know, deal with this, behind him, one of the, I don't know if he's security or manager, pushes a guy on a Rasco scooter in like a really funny way, kind of like making fun of what's going on. It was funny. But also, what you're saying, overarching, I totally agree with. But I think it everybody on Twitter had something to say about this. And, you're freedom of commerce. But what people forget is if you don't want to wear a mask, you can be accommodated. You can do curbside pickup. There are ways to accommodate people who can't or don't want to wear a mask. So just because it's not happening in your way, like, doesn't mean that you won't be accommodated.
Agreed. But obviously, they're there to make a statement.
Right.
And I agree with the statement in that the fucking government is hugely overreaching on this. But
why check it out in Trader Joe's? Why take it out on that store?
But why take it out on a liquor store or Pier 1 Imports? Like, why take it out on? It always gets taken out on some poor business that's just there. You know, right. Once people start pushing back or fighting for equality or whatever, it's never the senator's house that gets burnt right. down. It's always the ma and pa liquor store that's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Does this person fall into the category, Adam? If it does for me, of the, you know, dude or person you can't hang out with, person is like, hey, we're just here to shop. It's like Gina's example of the kid that loves to tell. Like the kid on the schoolyard is like, my finger, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not getting fingers inch away from your face. I'm not touching you. It's like, you fucking anxious little shit. I know what you're doing. I don't like it. Get the fuck out of here.
No, if you're there to protest, I'll respect that. Just say what you're there for.
Yes, exactly. The one guy was like, we're here to demonstrate. He's like, no, we're not. He's like, fuck off.
Yeah, they need to get on the same page. All right. We'll talk to director, writer, producer, painter, musician. I'm looking at George's credits. One of his writing credits is Midnight Run, one of my favorite adventure buddy comedy.
I stand Midnight Run.
Oh, yeah. We'll say talk if I was your accountant.
To George Gallo about his new movie right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.